Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
DeMarco Farr.
One thing players desire, I could care less with sport. You want information you can use to help get better, and Sean McVay's got a ton of. He can help you on either side of the football get better at the position you're playing. He is a football savant. The going joke was, okay, the Rams hired a guy that was 31 years old, so he may not have been ready for the job, but by the time he was ready, you wouldn't be able to afford him, so it was the right choice to pick him now.
Some people said that about Matt Nagy.
Yeah, you know, he scares me. It's the same thing when I watch Chicago's offense and how dangerous it is and how much they can change and how much stress they put on the defense and how many indicators he gives his quarterback so he can pick up coverage and formations and whatnot. It's almost the same.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. We got some moving pieces today, but we're gonna get you covered with Bears and Cubs. A lot of Cubs news yesterday heading into this weekend.
News and sound.
Next week's winter meetings that start on Monday in Las Vegas. Yeah, we're going to get to all of that as we also get you ready for one of the biggest regular season football games we've had around here in a long time. We will talk some college football with Pete Futek at 10:40, Midday Midway at 11. We're going to check in with our old buddy Chris Ranji in St. Louis. Just say hey, you know, talk
a
about the Paul Goldschmidt thing and everything else. Find out what's going on in his life. Maybe just bother him, wake him up.
Yeah.
Screw around.
He's
got to
wake up first.
Patrick Manley at noon. And how about this? At some point today, we are going to give away an Omaha Steaks family gift pack.
Old box of meat.
$49.99. You can get it if you want it. If you go to omahasteaks.com and enter the code WSCR, you can get it whenever you want. But the free one, somebody is getting a free giant box of meat today. And no, Kevin Zipak, it is not going to be you.
No, it's
you
not.
Are not eligible because you are an employee of Entercom Corporation, as far as I know.
Plus, I don't think we'd give it to him anyway.
Right. And
even if he won, right. He'd be like, nah, no.
And we don't want to give it to you. That's the other thing. 312-644-6767 is the number at WSCR The Score. Email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We're streaming at 670thescore.com. It's the weekend, so we expect voluminous sexting along with the texting today at 67011. When you send something, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter at Bernstein _MCK. That guy's at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan _Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
Download it.
And that way you can stream The Score. You've timed that up nicely, by the way.
It's taken some work, but I've gotten there.
Yeah. No, you've
dry runs at the house.
Yep. That's for your mobile devices to interact with the show and the station on Facebook. Like the 670 The Score page, and you can interact via that particular portal if you like that kind of conversation. These cameras bring you us in all of our hoodied pajamas. And by the way, this is Hollandaise sauce, this stain. I'm proud of it.
After our conversation yesterday, I'm really hoping it's Hollandaise sauce. But yeah,
it's Hollandaise sauce.
It had better be, is all I'm saying. I just don't know why you felt the need to eat the Hollandaise sauce in that kind of speed. Like, quantity, I understand. Bathe in that stuff. Take shots. You know, the whole thing. But the kind of speed with which you ate it was alarming.
Because it was 47 and we're on at 53 or whatever.
Yeah, I know, but I can hear your arteries distending. Like, it's just this weird...
Hey, man.
Noise. That
I'm not going to just... Also, Hollandaise in particular, if you let it sit,
it
breaks.
Yeah, it does.
The sauce kind of breaks it. So it's better to eat it when it's right there.
With a shovel.
Fresh and good.
But it's better to eat it
as quickly as possible. We have Brian Gertsch in charge of that video feed, and our producers are Jay Zawoski.
If it's ruled a goal, maybe Jeremy Colleton challenges it for interference.
After video review,
Thank you.
He still wants to say something.
Yes.
The call on the ice is no goal due to goaltender interference.
So many horns.
I know that the best part was the rule of 17 on the horns. Like, it kept, there's always one more blast. How many were there? Five?
That's so great.
How many horn blasts were there? That's great because that's like Sideshow Bob stepping on the rakes.
He still wants to say something. Yes.
Yeah, the referee was whatever stadium ops guy was in charge, like, wait, it's a goal, here's the thing. He never said it was a goal. He said the puck did cross, and there's a however in there.
I like the idea that, like, Jerry the intern was allowed to do it for just this next goal. Jerry, you've been here with us. I know you got to go back to school.
You get to be on the button.
Everything starts. You know, yep.
Just a dump button in his office.
Right,
just a giant red button.
that referee's like, all right, okay. Are you done yet? You done? All right, I got to tell you. No, yeah, it's no goal. It's goal interference.
That's so great.
That's spectacular. On the board, Rick Camp.
All right, Chicago. Robinson, Gabriel, Miller, the wide receivers. Burton's a tight end. The tackles are Massey and Leno. The guards are Weissman and Daniels. The center's white hair. Quarterbacks, Trubisky, and backup quarterbacks, Chase Daniels. Running backs are Howard and Cohen. So got that cleared.
God bless Wade Phillips.
I love you, Wade Phillips.
You know, and here's the thing. He hit Trubisky, and he gave you a Daniels.
And a Weitzman.
We are missing our replacement offensive line. We've got a couple so far this year, but that doesn't really count. And he finally got us our right guard on the offense. When we make our lineup at the end of the Bears season, with all the mispronounced Bears names on our starting lineup, we finally have a right guard. That's missing an offensive lineman.
Well, we had some people. There had been a couple Jay Lenos instead of Charles
right.
Leno Jr.
Our left tackle's set. We've had that for a little while. We're missing a lot of the interior.
Yeah, but that's good. We got one.
Didn't somebody give us a White Castle instead of a White Hare or something? Cody's name got mispronounced.
Cody White Castle?
It was Cody White Shear or something. Somebody messed that up. We had a center, I think.
Okay. Yeah, we need one.
We needed more of the interior line, and thank God for waiting.
And I don't know if we've gotten a James Daniel instead of a James Daniels. It's possible.
Collinsworth gave us that, actually.
Did he?
I think so.
Okay, because we got a Brian Callahan. We've got enough people elsewhere around. In the back, doing what the executioner does, is Eli Hershkovich.
There was a grade that just I struggled. Kindergarten.
What causes the difficulty with kindergarten?
Kindergartners? Well, they don't listen. See, it's crazy because I'm like weird about like eye contact and listen to me and, you know, and make sure that we're connecting. And I got none of that. So I was always just like, I normally don't get frizzled, but I was frizzled that day when I left, and they had me, I was beat. They beat me up.
You didn't ever watch Kindergarten?
Yeah, I have. Is that with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I have a headache.
It might be a tumor.
It's not a tumor.
Isn't it frazzled?
It is frazzled.
No, it's frizzled.
No, it's not. It's frazzled.
Maybe it's like a local Pennsylvania thing. I don't know.
That's your show, Miss Frizzle, right?
Miss Frizzle, yeah. But Miss Frizzle never got frazzled. She was on top of that classroom the entire way through. The Magic School Bus.
Did he confuse Miss Frizzle with being frazzled?
I don't know. Would he have?
If he did, I like him even more now.
Is he that age? I don't know.
Is he
that age to read those books?
He's
That was like when Joe and I were kids. Not
40?
Yeah, I guess.
He is 40.
Yeah. I think it's about right.
He's reading Miss Frizzle books. That's awesome.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The guards are Weissman and Daniels. Quarterbacks, Trubisky, and backup quarterbacks, Chase Daniels.
Wade Phillips, son of Bum Phillips.
That's his Twitter handle, right? Son of Bum?
Son of Bum. Yep.
Good Twitter handle. Mm-hmm. Good audio from him. Good audio from Cubs executive Theo Epstein as well yesterday. He had everyone over for a very casual meet and greet. You know, he's pouring drinks and all that kind of stuff while meeting with reporters before winter meetings. And we thought we'd bring some of it to you. There's three little issues here.
Well, one's a big issue. They got a pitching coach.
Yeah, they do. They have a pitching coach, Tommy Hotovy. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But there is a truth, I think, that Theo Epstein continues to try and push for the Cubs. Well, and it's a about what they may or may not be able to do in terms of the budget this season.
Yeah, part of this was what was actually said.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it was how it's said, and then we have to parse this. It's like when one of the Fed governors speaks, and then the markets react, that you're trying to sort of get through what he prioritized and how he says things. We're trying to divine meaning from some of it here.
Yeah, we are. But while divining that meaning, you know a couple of truths. There are $246 million allotted to teams before you have to start giving back a draft spot or 10 spots of a draft worth. There are artificial budgets that are created by teams. And then there's the actual hard number of what you're committed to for the 2019 season. And Theo kind of talked about all three of those things through a little bit of a cipher, but as honest as he always is about his budget going into this offseason.
A similar dynamic in a lot of ways that it is every year, which is we get a budget. We always operate within a budget. There aren't sort of artificial constraints, so we're not overly guided by the CBA, although you take it into account for strategic purposes, especially over the long haul. But like any good business, we have a budget, and you adhere to it. I don't talk about it publicly with specifics. It just doesn't make sense strategically to do that. And I think the headline with the budget is that we're extraordinarily lucky to have the financial support that we do from ownership. It's, you know, top six payroll at least every year, and more than enough to win. You know, we've won more games than any other club the last 4 years. That proves it's more than enough to win. We'll have probably a higher payroll this coming year than we've had at any point in the past, and we have to. You know, we have to do an outstanding job with what we have, and what we have is a lot. So if there are limitations or if there's need to get creative, it just underscores the fact that we have to do a better job, and we have to find value and efficiency on the roster.
Three phrases here that I want you to keep in mind.
Tom Thibodeau's more than enough to win.
More than enough to win. That was one of the phrases I tagged. We have a lot. That's another phrase I tagged. And then the third, and maybe the most important one when it comes to adding a $30 million check every season, strategic purposes over the long haul is another phrase. Remember, if you're dipping into the luxury tax year after year after year, the penalties become higher and higher and higher. And I
read
for the
that
life
also
of me,
as having to pay some of their own guys who are going to stay with the ARB seasons are going to be done.
Chris Bryant's going to get 14. Kyle Hendricks is going to get something close to 8. Javi Baez could get up to 8, depending on his. I mean, that whole arbitration thing is crazy, and that's only his first year. So, yeah, you've got some payroll increases here, and I can't for the life of me figure out how you add $30 million a season, whether that's Harper or Machado, like a lot of Cubs fans would like to see them activate in the market. I don't know how you add those guys without dipping into the luxury tax for at least this season and the next one.
As long as you're not in the repeater tax, it's not as onerous an action.
And it clicks up after you're in there, too. Three is almost untenable, I mean, for a lot of franchises. It's just the dollar-on-dollar tax. I think it's 80 cents on the dollar. But we're going to talk with Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic at 10 o'clock, and I know he's got the details there. We'll talk to him about the pitching coach, Tommy Hotovy, as well.
You bring him up. Did you hear? There's something where I want to say to Theo, which is it? And that is when he says, regarding Hotovy's opportunities. We're going to come back and listen to some of this stuff because I was kind of unsure how he was describing the decision to promote him and whether or not their hand was forced.
So we're going to find out about the Tommy Hotovy decision, and Jay Zawoski did some sleuthing before the show as well and found some audio from Tommy Hotovy, because if you're a Cubs fan thinking, who is this guy? I've heard his name, but I don't know what kind of a pitching coach he is. We've got some answers for you on that end as well. It's Bernstein and McKnight. 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Tommy was someone who was actually asked about by another club as pitching coach, and I think we would have lost him but for this move. But that's not why we made it. We felt like he was the best person, and those three individuals, Tommy, Boers, and Lester, were the right guys to bet on to keep supporting our pitching staff.
Do you hear any contradiction in that? We would have lost him but for this move, but that's not why we made it.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Okay.
I understand that there could be issues within that phrase, but I mean, you can see the realities. We want to hire Tommy Hotovy. other people want to hire Tommy Hotovy as their pitching coach.
Other people would have hired Tommy Hotovy.
He should take that job if we don't give him this one, but okay. It so happens we think he's the guy for this job as well.
So who
isn't that how you get down the road on that?
I guess so.
Okay.
But it's I don't think there's anything wrong with saying one of the reasons why we stood out as a reasonable promotion is because we could have lost him.
I think there is something wrong in doing just that.
I didn't say just that.
Well,
I
okay,
could be part of it.
If you were to do just that because of the way you got to Jim Hickey not being your pitching coach and because of the way you got to Chili Davis not being your hitting coach and because of the way you got to Joe Maddon not getting a contract extension, then I think pushing it on only those merits, which they didn't.
Right.
But I think then pushing it on those merits would have been incongruous. You know, you can't arrive at those decisions that way.
So what do they have in Tommy Hotovy? What are his thoughts about pitching?
Jay's done some sleuthing about Tommy Hotovy and found a video. And Jay, I want to... It's a video about what their starters put out last year, what their starters were doing in between starts with Hotovy and Borzello.
Yeah, it was a Facebook documentary called Between Starts, and Hotovy was featured in there a couple times.
At the elite level, minuscule adjustments is what it takes to continue to be the best of the best, and that doesn't happen just by accident. The role that I'm in is an analytics liaison. I try to help pitchers be more pointed in what they're trying to do.
For me, the slider's been inconsistent. So I said, okay, well, then I got to change something. I just threw about probably 30 or 40 off the mound. The first were really good, and then it started to get really inconsistent.
Right.
But I think it's just the feel of the thumb.
You mean if you throw your changeup here, that slider underneath plays off.
I know. That shape right there is what I'm looking for.
We ask a lot of the starting pitchers. The day before their start, they will literally try to memorize, like you're getting ready for an essay test.
If you go early curveball on him, expect a swing. Yeah. He doesn't really take it, but that two-seamer in on the hands eats him up. Yeah.
So those voices in order, Tommy Hotovy, the new Cubs pitching coach, Mike Montgomery, who stepped in ably as the fifth starter midseason, and then Mike Borzello, who's another large voice in that Cubs pitching infrastructure. It's also Jay Zawoski on piano,
yep.
Rick on strings, Eli on synth, and Dan, thanks to you for conducting that whole musical thing in the background there. That was very dramatic.
They had eyes on me. It took a couple of takes, but they got it, so no worries there. Mike Borzello also added associate pitching coach or assistant pitching coach to his title, right?
Yeah, sure, and everybody gets a bump when you've got a pitching staff that had come together like that. I think it's worth pointing out, I know that the bullpen had petered out late in that season, but you look at the way that starting staff had rebounded after such a terrible first half, and really the bulk of the 4 years that pitching infrastructure has been there, that's been more of a strength than it has been a weakness, injuries aside. And that's what brings us to Brandon Morrow. He's not going to start the season on time, it seems. Injuries have crept up with him. He had some, is it debridement or debridement?
I think it's a debridement. I've always pronounced it debridement, okay. And it's a cleanup. That's when they go in, they remove scar tissue and any other sort of necrotic areas, and they it's a wound cleanup.
That's a word like indictment where I see it, and I go, I don't really know what that word is. Why is there a C there? And then I say it, and it's indictment, and I get it. It's fine. Debridement.
Yeah, I believe it's debridement, and it just means that they're cleaning up the excess tissue and bone and stuff floating around, and they're stuck on there.
So let's take a spin through what Theo mentioned about the offseason for Brandon Morrow, the Cubs closer, and I have some thoughts on the other side.
Morrow, we have some news. It's the first time we were asked about him, so I'll answer it. He had we gave him plenty of time to heal from the bone bruise, he felt a lot better, but his elbow didn't feel perfect. It didn't feel quite as he was expecting it should feel as the bone bruise was allowed to heal. So as a similar case with Darvish, made the decision to go in and just do a quick scope of him. This is exactly a month ago, so back on November 6th. And they did a quick cleanup of some cartilage and bone in there, so a quick debridement arthroscopically. And he's feeling really good 1 month post-op, and it based on the rehab schedule, it could potentially affect his availability in April. He should start throwing
February 6th, about 3 months post-surgery, so December, January, February 6th. Is sort of the target date for him to start throwing, and that probably doesn't give him enough time to be fully 100% and ready opening day, but we think shortly thereafter.
All right, so that brings up some questions, at least in my mind.
What's his contract situation?
Morrow's?
Yes.
I have it in front of me. Give me 2.5 seconds, and I'll grab it. Brandon Morrow is under contract for $9 million this season, and a 2020 option for what looks like 3. I don't know what the bump up would be. Looks like the option is 3, but I think it's 9. 9 total if you take the option.
I don't think this really changes the fact that they're going to go out and sign as many relief arms as they can find.
No, but it does point out something of a flaw. And in every baseball strategy, there is a flaw because baseball's weird. If you're going to be the team that doesn't develop your own pitching prospects or struggles to do so, and if you're going to be the team that allows other pitchers to go through the injury nexus through other organizations and then pluck them in free agency or via trade after they've gone through that, then you can't buy broken pitchers. That sets you back in such a huge way when you don't have internal replacements. And that's why having Mike Montgomery was such a huge luxury for them that other teams, not every other team had, not every other playoff team had to lean on. So that's a credit to them getting the depth in the organization to go to there. I mean, you have to have pitcher number 5 and 6 and 7.
If you're going to build it for the back end, especially.
And the other part of this is, Rick and I were talking about this before the show. The other part of this is when you traded for Aroldis Chapman, baggage aside, you knew that he wasn't coming back, so you rode him. You sent him back out there, and the fact that Jason
almost to the
Kipnis,
point of losing a World Series,
the fact that Jason Kipnis didn't hit that ball into the next county is still amazing to me. But you got out of there with a win. The Dodgers did the same with Brandon Morrow, and then you picked that guy up. So you know when we go back through some of the audio when Theo's talking about a misuse of Brandon Morrow and we didn't want him to pitch 3 days in a row, you got to understand that that's also a pitcher with restrictions that you handed to a coaching staff that had a starting staff go essentially down in the first half of the year, a bullpen that was shaky for a little bit late, and you didn't have Brandon Morrow available to you.
Well, I also think that informs their decision to not overpay for Jesse Chavez, that a guy at his age, they might have gotten just a miraculous year out of him with his level of effectiveness, and maybe they're just betting on regression to the mean. He's a prime regression candidate.
Well, because he's 37, sure, but he's changed and added a pitch, so I think you can make an argument for Jesse Chavez as well. I get where you're coming from.
This segment is brought to you by New City's ArcLight. Discover New City and experience an exciting mix of shopping, dining, and entertainment right in the heart of Lincoln Park at Clybourne Avenue and Halsted Street. Parking is available, or take the Red Line to North and Clybourne. For more information, visit experiencenewcity.com. We're going to have a conversation about the Cubs, the upcoming winter meetings, with Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic, who always has outstanding information on everything that they are doing. It is Bears-Rams build-up time, too, and we are keeping sight of one of the more intriguing regular season games in recent memory between the unstoppable force and the immovable object. So there will be plenty of Bears and Rams talk as we are. I was pissed that they flexed it because I love the noon games.
Love a nooner.
From a selfish perspective.
Yeah, of course.
Get the work out of the way and all that.
Yes.
But the extra anticipation, I don't necessarily mind. I don't mind going through the Sunday with that, still building toward it as you're watching other football games. It's kind of cool, I do have to admit. So Sahadev will
give
us the latest on the Cubs next, and Bernstein and McKnight on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.